For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a cloudy sky now and 63 degrees. A strong thunderstorm roared across the Wichita area Sunday evening, bringing heavy rain and wind gusts over 60 miles per hour near downtown Wichita and in Kichai. No damage is reported. Wichita's Eisenhower National Airport recorded 3 1/13 inches of rain Saturday, and that's a record for the date. The old record was set in 1968. The heavy rain has raised the water level at Cheney Lake by more than 6 inches over the weekend. Sunday's rain total in Wichita, 42 1/4 inches. Former President Trump hits the campaign trail in Macon, Georgia, vowing to ease high prices if he wins a second term.
To rapidly reduce inflation, I will end Kamala's war on American energy, and we will drill, baby drill, frack, frack, frack. We're going to go to town.
Vice President Kamala Harris visited Michigan State University in East Lansing. The vice president asked supporters to be intentional about building community.
In these final hours, let us remember that there is power in knowing that we are together. And let us remember that your vote is your voice, and your voice is your power.
A woman was critically injured in an East Wichita crash Saturday afternoon.
It happened just before 3:30 p.m. at 13th Street North and Bluff Street, east of 13th and Hillside. Officials say it started as a vehicle was attempting to turn left to travel north on Bluff Street, and all three vehicles were involved, and a woman was trapped. Crews extricated the victim and transported her to a local hospital. No other injuries were reported. The crash remains under investigation. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
In Oklahoma, strong storms and apparent tornadoes ripped roofs off buildings and knocked out power to thousands of homes and businesses. Some 24,000 utility customers were still without power by Sunday afternoon. Authorities said Sunday that at least 11 people were taken to hospitals with injuries that were non-life-threatening. There were no reported fatalities. Local TV footage showed downed power lines, walls peeled off homes, and overturned vehicles. A tornado watch was in effect for a large part of the state into the evening hours. The union representing more than 1,000 Spirit AeroSystems engineers has reached an agreement on a new 4-year contract. Society of Professional Engineers officials say the agreement would increase the money available for wage increases for Spirit engineers by at least 19% over the 4 years, with provisions for greater increases if needed to keep up with Labor Department conditions. The union will conduct a mail-in vote on the offer. Meanwhile, Boeing workers plan to vote on a new contract. These are machinists. A new contract offer today to end their 7-week-old strike. The appearance of Vice President Kamala Harris on Saturday Night Live has one FCC commissioner up in arms.
Vice President Harris in the opening skit of SNL with comedian Maya Rudolph.
Keep Kamala and carry on a lot.
Republican FCC Commissioner Brennan Carr tells Fox the appearance by only the Democratic presidential nominee on SNL just before the election shouldn't have happened.
This appears to be a very clear and blatant effort by NBC to evade the FCC's equal time rule.
Harris's Republican rival, former President Trump, has hosted SNL in the past, once in 2004 and again in 2015. Some critics of the equal time rule say it's actually a violation of the First Amendment. The rule only applies to broadcasters, not cable outlets or online platforms. Jill Nato, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. KNSS News Time now, 6:08, 8 minutes past 6 o'clock, 62 degrees. Kansas is on track to set a new record in voter turnout. The Kansas Secretary of State says as of Friday, 1,516,000 ballots had been cast in advance voting in the state, marking just over a 25% turnout so far. Secretary Scott Schwab says advance in-person voting concludes today at noon, while advance mail ballots must be postmarked by Election Day and received by the county election office no later than Friday, November 8th. Following devastating flash floods in eastern Spain, dozens of angry survivors lashed out at the royal couple.
They threw mud, rocks, and other objects. Crowds of furious residents in Spain's Valencia region chanted "murderers, murderers" as King Felipe and his wife surveyed the wreckage of last week's natural disaster. According to the country's national broadcaster, bodyguards opened umbrellas to shield the royals, one guard seen with a bloody forehead. The prime minister was also ushered away, his official vehicle with a hole in its back window. Many residents believe they should have been warned about the danger sooner. They also say the government's response was delayed. More than 200 people were killed. Pam Husso, Fox News.
A unique group traveled a long distance to run the long-distance New York Marathon.
More than 250 Israelis have traveled to New York to run the marathon, saying that living in that country during Israel's wars against Hamas and Hezbollah has been challenging, but that they're in the U.S. to honor and remember those still being held by Hamas.
Today, we've chosen to run with the yellow shirts of our team to remember all of our 101 hostages that are still in Gaza, and we are all praying for them to get released.
New York has been the site of many pro-Palestinian protests since October 7, 2023, including an occupancy at Columbia University last spring, which shut down the school. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Traffic on the Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras out there, not very heavy just yet, so it looks like things are looking fairly good at the moment. As the traffic volumes do pick up, though, we do have a stalled out vehicle. This is on I-135 southbound, right around Harry Street. Got a stalled out vehicle there. Otherwise, things looking okay so far. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Is there more rain in the forecast? To check it out with meteorologist Ronnie Williams.
More showers and thunderstorms to start the new week. Mostly cloudy skies. Winds are going to be breezy as they switch out of the north at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cool high of 64 degrees. Still near the average for this time of year, though. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnie Williams.
Now we have a cloudy sky. Southeast wind at 6 miles per hour. 62 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Good morning, Ted Woodward.
Hello.
The old radar is showing a lot of rain, mostly to the, well, it's all the way around Wichita. I mean, it goes clear out west and down to the south, almost most of Oklahoma covered, southeast Kansas. I mean, it's all, and it's all moving to the north. So, as you heard in Ron Hill's forecast, looks like we're going to have a real good chance for more rain today after a pretty rainy weekend. In fact, all weekend, it seems. Today is Monday, November 4th. We had a cloudy, stormy day across south central Kansas Sunday. Wichita's high temperature, 65 degrees, normal high 63. And we had just a little over 0.4 of an inch of rain at Eisenhower Airport Sunday, on top of over 3 inches on Saturday, giving a weekend total of about 3.5 inches at the airport. Going to be, depending on where you are. What you had, I in Riverside, I measured 4.5.
Yeah, most parts of town got 4.
And, plus, during Saturday, a lot of this street was running full in front of my house. Wow. And then I got out for a walk on Sunday. Hey, the rivers, Little Arkansas, Big Arkansas, are up and brown and flowing again. First time I've seen water in them. It seems like a long, long time if they're really going. So,
been a while.
We're hoping that will benefit plants, life, reservoirs, teeny reservoir. Maybe we can get out of this drought here. It looks like there's more rain in the forecast coming this week. On this date in 2008, Democratic Senator Barack Obama of Illinois was elected the first black president of the United States, defeating Republican candidate John McCain of Arizona. And that was on this date in 2008. Here's one for you. New York's mayor urging residents to take shorter showers, fix leaky faucets, and otherwise conserve water. Eric Adams issued a drought watch Saturday after a parched October in much of the United States, of course, including Kansas and right here in our part of the world. A drought watch is the first of three potential levels of water-saving directives. Adams is pitching it as a step to try and ward off potentially more serious shortages in the United States' most populous city. New York uses an average of 1.1 billion gallons of water a day. So I guess they go through stages like we do, and at some point you can't water your lawn or whatever in New York. I don't know how many lawns there are, but there you go. Just points out that we are not the only ones suffering from a water problem here in South Central Kansas. And this weekend's rain, pretty encouraging in that regard as far as I'm concerned. The restaurant chain TGI Fridays says it has filed for bankruptcy protection as it looks for ways to ensure the long-term viability of the casual dining brand. The Dallas-based company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in a Texas federal court Saturday. Executive Chairman Robert Menacha said in a statement that the primary driver of our financial challenges resulted from COVID-19 and our capital structure. TGI Fridays. We had one here, did we?
Yeah, and it left years ago.
I was going to say, was it on the east side over here in Rock Grove?
West side.
West side? I don't know that I ever went in there. Did you?
Yeah.
Did you? Okay. Well, there you go.
I don't think that I've missed it since they left.
I haven't either. I can't even remember it.
You know, the last time I went in there, it was one of those deals where they were like advertising endless appetizers or whatever it was. And when we got in there, and it really wasn't endless. They had all these stipulations that and kept adding on to the price. I'm like, this wasn't what they advertised. And I never went back.
Well, that's what they call a bait and switch.
Yeah.
They probably could have been barbecued.
It's maybe what the ad said it was going to be.
You know, and
okay, fine.
These people don't know that people from, the district attorney's office, consumer protection, they actually eat out in places, and they probably spot that pretty easily. Anyway, there you go. And you know what? I got the election's finally here tomorrow. Day of election. Now, you're going to be voting there, aren't you, Ted?
Yeah, I will vote tomorrow. I didn't make it out to remote voting
this
week. And,
Jad, remind me, what did you do? You voted real early, didn't you, Jad?
Yeah.
That's right. And I voted downtown. My son was actually, he and his wife, Shannon, were in Derby Saturday. So I had to go out about 10 o'clock in the morning. An hour and a half later.
Man.
Wow. They said there was a huge line, and they stood out there with an umbrella for an hour and a half before they got in there. And I said,
The first two times I tried, there was an hour and a
That's
half
right.
wait.
You said you had to wait, too.
And I went, the third time I went, I decided to go ahead and stick around because the wait was only 20 minutes. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have an election watch party tomorrow night here on the radio, starting about 8 o'clock, I believe. And Fox News is going to be giving our national coverage. And from what I've heard, I speculated this, but now I'm hearing it from those who really know something about it. We may not know who the next president is till Thursday or Friday. But remember, we went through this several years ago with Gore and Bush. How many days was that, Ted, till they finally?
That lasted a few weeks.
Till Al Gore finally just conceded and said, that's enough of this, and went on. No. So anyway, we're ready to at least – you know, maybe we'll know some of these House and Senate races, which are crucial. But we'll keep you posted on that. And on Wednesday morning, we'll keep you up to date right here with Steve and Ted.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? All right, let's 6:17 now. Steve and Ted in the morning on a Monday. Let's go ahead and fire up the sports with Ted Woodward here on a Monday. Good morning, Ted.
Yes, we have Monday Night Football tonight, and it features the Kansas City Chiefs, the top team in the league, the undefeated Chiefs on a 13-game winning streak. Chiefs hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Arrowhead Stadium tonight on Monday Night Football. Both teams in the top 10 in the league in scoring and time of possession. These are the top two teams in the league in third down conversions. They like to move the chains. Keep those third downs coming.
Yeah.
So interesting matchup between these two tonight. And, of course, Tampa Bay is led by former Oklahoma Sooners quarterback
Baker Mayfield. We talked about that with the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holthus, on Friday morning.
We get the mercurial Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which should be interesting, and Baker Mayfield can doubt the Chiefs. Dislike the Chiefs, disrespect the Chiefs, but you're going to have to deal with the Chiefs, which has become a little bit of a battle cry of the kingdom. You really have to say the same thing about Baker Mayfield. You can hate him, but you got to respect him. It's Wes Montooth and Anchorman here because just when you think Mayfield's gone and buried, he, like Rasputin, comes back. He leads the NFL with 21 touchdown passes. Huh. He is definitely ornery enough to win this game Monday night, so we got our hands full with Baker Mayfield.
The last time the Chiefs beat the Buccaneers in Arrowhead was 38 years ago.
Really?
The creamsicle Buccaneers came in. Yeah, that was back in 1986.
Oh.
Chiefs are a 9-point favorite tonight in this matchup. Chiefs Buccaneers, Monday Night Football. Mitch Holthus and the Chiefs radio crew begin their pregame coverage at 6 o'clock this evening. Game kicks off at 7:15 tonight, and that is right here on your Wichita radio, home of the Chiefs, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. All right, we look over. Well, let's take a look at hockey just quickly. The Wichita Thunder is now the number one team in the ECHL after a three-game sweep on the weekend, 3 wins in 3 days over the Rapid City Rush, which still has not won a game. Wichita wins it 3-0 yesterday. 2,000 fans at the game at Intrust Bank Arena. Wichita is undefeated on home ice this season, 4-0. As Jay Dickman scored 2 goals, and the goalie, Gabriel Carrier, got his first professional shutout with 33 saves. All right. Wichita Thunder, the number one team in the league right now on a 6-game winning streak. Great start for the Thunder. And here we are, college basketball season. It starts out with the Shocker women. Shocker women play a game at 11 o'clock this morning at Coke Arena. Shocker ladies hosting Oklahoma Christian, a Division II school. Season opener for the Shocker women today, 11 a.m. tip-off. Tonight we have college men's basketball. It's the season opener for Wichita State. Shocker men are on the road at Western Kentucky. First season opener on the road for the Shocks in 32 years. It's the earliest ever season opener for the Shockers. Here as they open up the season on November 4th.
Well, they can't wait to go, can they?
Apparently not. And here's the play-by-play voice of the Shockers, Mike Kennedy, talking with Shocker head coach Paul Mills.
Just maybe a quick comment on the schedule overall, what you tried to accomplish in putting this schedule together.
Yeah, I may have bitten off more than I can chew, or we can chew, but excited about it. You know, we needed to challenge ourselves. So there are 13 non-conference games, I think. We're going to challenge ourselves, and we're excited about it.
Looking forward to it. The Shockers playing on a Monday night. The Shockers have won their last 11 games that they've played on a Monday. Random stat there.
Maybe it's lucky. Yeah.
Western Kentucky's really good. They were in the NCAA tournament last season, and they got a ton of guys back. The Shockers are a 1.5-point underdog going into this game on the road tonight at Western Kentucky. Mike Kennedy and Bob Hull begin their pregame coverage at 6 o'clock this evening. The game will tip off at 7 o'clock tonight in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Listen to the Shockers live on the road. Season opener. It's on 103.7 KEYN. And the number one ranked team in the nation opens up the season tonight up at Allen Fieldhouse in Lawrence. It's number one ranked Kansas hosting Howard. These two teams played fairly recently. They met in the first round of the NCAA tournament a year and a half ago. KU is a 25.5-point favorite on home court tonight. KU has how many? Okay, I'll quiz you, Steve. We'll see how you do on the prices right here.
Uh-oh.
How many years in a row has KU won its home opener?
30.
51.
I was going to say 50. But
I know you almost said it. KU has won the home opener 51 years in a row. It started under head coach Ted Owens. He won 10 in a row in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And it's continued on and on. Bill Self, the current head coach, is 21-0 in season openers for the Jayhawks. And that'll tip off at 7 o'clock tonight up in Lawrence. All right, there you go. That's sports with Steve and Ted. Brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Provides detox, residential, and outpatient services for most insurances and veterans. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
622, keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. The difference between being alone and being lonely. That's coming up with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
This
is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 6:30 here on a Monday morning with a flood watch. 62 degrees. Police have named a suspect in the fatal shooting of a 13-year-old at a Wichita convenience store on Halloween. Jermall Campbell is wanted in connection with the homicide that took place at the Quick Trip at Central and Oliver. If you have any information regarding his whereabouts, you're asked to contact police. To remain anonymous, you can contact Crime Stoppers at 316-267-2111.
Former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris are making their final pitches to voters.
With just over 24 hours to go until Election Day, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are hitting battleground states pretty hard. The former president rallied voters in Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. The vice president, meanwhile, focused her efforts at various spots around Michigan. Election data shows over 75 million people have already cast their ballots. Polls say the election is up for grabs.
And that's Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer with that report.
And with Election Day less than 24 hours away, close attention is being paid to not only the presidential race, but House and Senate races as well. Kansas 4th District Congressman Ron Estes was asked his thoughts if Republicans are not able to grab a majority.
That would be a problematic, and particularly problematic if, for some reason, the Democrats were to win either the House or the Senate, but particularly the House, because the President Trump would effectively be handcuffed. The House would, you'd just see all these fake impeachment hearings start up again. Exactly what they did before when Speaker Pelosi was in the majority.
You think they'd start that nonsense again?
They would start that nonsense again, yes.
Estes is opposed in the election by Democrat Asaf Freeman. Congressman Ron Estes was a guest Sunday night on the John Whitmer Show on KNSS.
The election tabulation machines tested again last Friday morning in Sedgwick County, making sure they're working properly. Election workers tested all county machines more than a month ago. Deputy Election Commissioner Brad Beetz says the ballots are then inserted into scanners, tabulating the results, then saving them on a thumb drive.
We then take that thumb drive at the end of the night of elections, bring it here to our office, load it into our server that is standalone, not tied to any internet whatsoever, load all that up, and then that's the results that come back.
Paper ballots are kept for 2 to 4 years in case of an audit.
A deadly highway crash in Michigan.
They briefly closed a section of I-96 outside Lansing, Michigan to string some new utility lines that caused traffic to back up. The driver of an approaching semi-truck apparently didn't see the brake lights in time and slammed into the backup. The chain reaction crash, damaging 15 vehicles, causing some of them to catch fire. 4 people died in the crash, 17 others injured. The fire may have done structural damage to an overpass. I-96 westbound closed while engineers from the Michigan Department of Transportation inspect it. Jack Callahan, Fox News.
3 Chinese astronauts have returned to Earth after a 6-month stay on China's Tiangong space station. A parachute slowed their capsule's nighttime descent to a remote landing area in China's Inner Mongolia region. Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
More showers and thunderstorms to start the new week. Mostly cloudy skies. Winds are going to be breezy as they switch out of the north at 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cool high of 64 degrees. Still near the average for this time of year, though. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now a clear, cloudy sky, 62 degrees. Southeast wind at 6 miles per hour here at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And here on a Monday morning, 6:34, we're just about an hour away from Mondays with the Mayor. And we'll be speaking this morning, of course, with Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. That'll be around 7:25 this morning with Steve and Ted. Today is the 4th day of November, Monday, November 4th. And again, a flood watch in effect. You could see some deep water out there, especially in the rivers. But the streets look pretty good this morning. On this date, this is the 4th, on this date in 1979, the Iran hostage crisis began as militants stormed the United States Embassy in Tehran, seizing its occupants. For some of the hostages, it was the start of 444 days of captivity until Ronald Reagan was elected president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the start of a real, well, Jimmy Carter just, he couldn't find a way.
And no.
I don't know if
we tried.
But Reagan would have found a way to, I don't know. But they felt like Reagan was probably going to just come in here and blast. I don't know what the Iranians felt. We finally got him free a few 444 days later. In Florida, where the strange stories usually occur. A woman who pleaded guilty to dressing as a clown and in 1990 murdering the wife of a man she later married has been released from a Florida prison. Sheila Keen Warren was released Saturday from a prison near Tallahassee. She pleaded guilty last year to second-degree murder for the shooting of Marlene Warren. That plea deal came shortly before her trial would have started. Keen Warren has maintained her innocence even after her plea. She was sentenced to 12 years in prison, but has been in custody for 7 years since her arrest in 2017. Florida's law in 1990 allowed significant credit for good behavior. So apparently she killed somebody and she's only going to wind up doing 7 years, whatever. That's Florida. I think sometimes
doesn't seem right.
They have some weird people down there. Some pretty weird laws as well. Okay. Meteor showers. Time of the year, I guess. Two sister meteor showers are already flashing across night skies and will peak a week apart. The southern torrids will reach their zenith early Tuesday morning and the northern torrids the following week. Two showers share similar names because when seen in the night sky, they appear to originate from different points in the constellation Taurus.
Okay.
Their source is debris from the comet Encke. You know that. You know the comet.
Oh, I do now.
Oh, yeah. Well, the two torrid showers only produce around 5 visible meteors per hour. They're often very bright fireballs under ideal conditions.
Oh, well, there you go.
Viewing of both showers will last into December. Of course, I probably can't see them from here because we have too much other light, right?
Yeah, you have to go out into the country.
Country somewhere. Way out there.
Away from the city light.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Meteor showers. All right, 6:37 here, Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And that means it's time for our commodities update with Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Back on Friday, the live cattle and the feeder cattle futures had a wild trading session. Most contracts had their lowest trade of the past 30 days on Friday, then rebounded to close mostly positive. Feeder cattle actually had triple-digit gains. Cash cattle trade last week was at $190, which is steady with the previous week, and lean hog futures continued to make new contract highs and close positive. On the close Friday, December live cattle down 37 cents at $185.92. January feeders $1.87 higher, $243.20, and December lean hogs up 27 cents at $84.07. On Friday, only the corn was able to close positive while the wheat and soybeans closed on the negative side. Trading overnight and this morning has been mostly positive for the grain and the soybean complexes. Friday at 11 a.m. is our next monthly USDA supply and demand report, and look for all the markets to be nervous with the uncertainty ahead of Tuesday's election. Interesting that the soybeans overnight have been very strong as the sell poll this weekend showed Harris leads Trump among likely voters in Iowa. At the moment, December Kansas City wheat 0.75 cents lower, 566. December corn up 3.5 at 418. November beans up 12.5 at 995. December crude oil $2.14 higher, 71.63. December gold up 80 cents at $2,750. December S&P up 0.5 point at 5,759. December dollar index taking a big hit down 65 cents at 103.55, and December Dow Jones futures 26 points lower at 42,183. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Hey, Tom, missed you last week. Gosh, how long has it been since you took like 3 days in a row off the Steve and Ted show? Quite a while.
It has been about 15 years since I took that much time off, and I didn't go to have fun. It was mainly business. We was down in Nashville doing some business, had a little bit of fun while we was down there, but well, I tell you what, it's interesting when you come back from being gone that long how much you got to do to catch up.
Really? You did have a lot?
I barely slept last week, Tom. I didn't have my lean hogs report for three days.
Yeah. He was a mess. He was a lean hogs mess.
Well, just so you know, they kept going higher.
Okay, good.
Still going up. Whew. Yeah, it proves that pigs can fly.
Pigs can fly. There you go.
Did you have any good food in Nashville?
Nashville.
Oh, we had some good food. One of my friends down there owns a part of a restaurant and stuff, and we had some great Italian food. We had a little bit of everything while we was down there, plus good entertainment. But you know what the best thing was? If I would have known that by me going to Nashville would have changed the weather and we would have got rain, I would have went 6 months ago.
Is that it? Something happened. I mean, good gravy this week.
Yeah, because it started raining after we left, and heck, we picked up about 4.5 inches since then.
Here. Oh, did you? Okay. I got at my house just Saturday and Sunday, about 4.5 at my house, but that's kind of common, between 3 and 4 inches all around the area, I guess. But that's got to do some good. But they say it only added, what I'm seeing there, they only added about 6 inches to the reservoir out of Cheney. But so I gave it about.
That's going to take a little bit of time, but at least they're getting a little relief. That's a little hopeful because we don't usually get this much rain at this time of the year.
Yeah, it looks like we might get some more here in the next couple of days. So how about that?
And it looks like the weekend could be wet also.
All right. Why don't you just come on and do the weather for us as well as everything else, huh?
I could give that a try.
Yeah, you can give us a try.
I'd love to be on TV and stand in front of that green screen.
Yeah, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Maybe you could give us some traffic reports about Augusta. What do you think?
Well, we got to get me a helicopter.
Oh,
hey, now
it's always something. All right, thanks.
I think, you know, Jad and I could go up in a helicopter and do some wonders.
Yeah, you could. I don't know if you do any traffic, but you do some wonders. Thank you.
Yeah, the two of you can go up in a few weeks and drop some turkeys.
Okay.
There you go. All right, thank you, Tom. Check with you tomorrow, 6:41, Stephen Taylor in the morning here on KNSS. We are scheduled to speak just a few minutes from now with Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker.
Ah, Don Grant. Hope you had a good weekend.
He's coming up with Stephen Ted here on KNSS. Stephen Ted in the morning, KNSS, 6:46 on a Monday. Three big things.
Three.
Wichita police looking for a suspect, Jermall Campbell, in the killing of a 13-year-old boy on Halloween.
Two.
Stewart Aerosystems engineers and Boeing machinists begin voting on new contract deals today.
One.
Thunderstorms bring high wind and much-needed rain to south-central Kansas. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
A couple of areas where we have some heavier traffic out there. Westbound Kellogg, right around 143rd Street East. You can see some fairly heavy traffic along Kellogg in that area on those Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS is brought to you by Joe Dubrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire. Two convenient locations, downtown at Market and Waterman and 47th Street South and Broadway. That's in the former Kmart building. You can see it all at carlstire.com. Carl's Goodyear is your home for complete car care.
We have a flood watch, 100% chance for rain today with a high of 63 degrees, 50% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 44. Tuesday becoming sunny and cooler. On Election Day, the high will be 57 degrees. Now, cloudy sky, southeast wind at 6 miles per hour, 62 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Ford makes a change to its electric vehicle strategy.
It's Fox Wheels.
Ford is halting the F-150 Lightning pickup truck production for 6 weeks from November 18th through January 6th as the auto giant says it continues to adjust production for an optimal mix of sales growth and profitability. Like other automakers, Ford has scaled back EV plans. It scrapped a three-row electric SUV and pushed back a new electric version of the F-150, shifting more investments toward hybrids. Ford CEO Jim Farley slammed recently for driving a Chinese made electric vehicle that he tells the Fully Charged podcast he had specially flown in from Shanghai, saying he's been driving it for months and doesn't want to give it up. Critics call it a slap in the face to American auto workers. Farley saying on X that he tries to drive everything Ford competes against. Currently, the U.S. has a 100% tariff on Chinese made EVs. That's Fox Wheels. I'm Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
On Wall Street Friday, stocks ended the week on an up note.
Boeing reaching a third tentative agreement with Machinists Union, which plans to vote on the deal Monday.
Apple reported upbeat earnings, though Wall Street is disappointed with its weaker outlook for the holiday season. Apple continues to experience the effects of a slowdown in China's economy. Shares in Reckitt Benckiser and Abbott Laboratories soaring Friday after a U.S. court ruled the companies were not liable in a case concerning their baby formulas. And just 12,000 jobs were created in October due to Hurricanes Helene and Milton and the Boeing strike. The stock market ending the week on a high note. The Dow up 288 points, S&P 500 up 23, NASDAQ up 145. Laura Cantor, Fox News.
Claiming spousal Social Security benefits, Don Grant, CFP, The Money Tracker with Steve and Ted here on this Monday morning. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. Well, if you haven't earned much outside of the home, your Social Security benefits may be limited, obviously. If your spouse is the primary breadwinner, well, you may receive a much greater benefit if you claim based upon your spouse's qualifications. Well, when and how should you claim? Social Security spousal benefits allow a spouses, obviously, to claim benefits based upon their partner's earnings. Eligibility generally requires a spouse seeking benefits is at least 62 years old. Spouses can claim as much as 50% of their partner's benefit if they wait till their full retirement age. If both spouses are close in age, one has earned income and the other qualified on a much lower income, it's generally best if the higher earning worker wait to file benefits till after full retirement age, and that's 67 for most. In that situation, it could be best for the non-working spouse to go ahead and collect at the earliest age of 62. It's one of the few times I would recommend that. Once the working spouse reaches FRA, full retirement age, the lower earner can switch and begin collecting benefits that are half of the higher earners. So they'd collect on their own to begin with and then switch over to the higher earners. If you claim spousal benefits, the individual you are entitled to collect a spousal benefit from must also be receiving Social Security benefits. If they have not filed yet, you may collect on your own earnings record first, then file for half of the benefit once they file. The maximum amount that you can collect would be half of their full retirement age benefit. If you're divorced, you may still claim based upon your former spouse's earning record. Now, you must have been married for at least 10 years, not remarried, and at least 62 years old to claim. If your ex has not begun collecting their benefits yet, you will need to have been divorced for at least 2 years. If they are already collecting their benefits and you are at least 62, you can begin collecting immediately. If your former spouse dies, you could get the same benefits as a surviving spouse if you were married for at least 10 years. And of course, if you have any questions, this gets a little bit complex. You probably want to talk to your CFP professional, or give me a call. And the number is, 267-0600.
It is. And, I was talking with my son over the weekend about Social Security and how much I've had success.
You have.
A lot of ways. And I have a good impression. They sent me a notification the other day. They've been shorting me on my check this year.
And so you got a catch-up check?
Got a little bank up on that.
Will you buy us lunch then?
See, I don't have to hire a computer person to go. They do it for you. They're monitoring the situation. So I'm kind of impressed by that. Because you get the impression they're just this vast place where nobody knows what they're doing.
A monolith. Yeah.
But not necessarily. Oh, today, my friends, is National Candy Day.
Ah.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to bring our Halloween candy into the office because we don't want it around the house anymore.
Talking about that dirty book back
in the 60s. Yeah, you, quote, forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
Candies have a long history of attracting us with their bright colors and delightful flavors.
Oh, yes.
They also come in a variety of fun sizes and shapes. Did you know all this?
I had no idea.
Maybe it's just my order of review for this, but did anybody get any post-Halloween candy is my question.
I hit the grocery store Friday morning, and boy, they were putting out the Christmas stuff and shoving the discount Halloween stuff off to the side. And I did grab.
Did you grab something?
Yeah, I did.
What did your go to? Did you get Twix, peanut butter cups?
No, I got some peanut butter cups. I got the fun size little candy bars.
Ah, okay.
I got some Kit Kats.
Yeah. All half price.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I went later. I'm stocked up, man.
I went later in the day Friday, and the Dillon's shelf was just darn near completely empty.
Yeah, I hit it.
But the Kit Kats were there, so okay. I got a bag of Kit Kats for half.
Well, I got them the day of because we were going out to an event, and I figured it was at 6:30, and I figured, well, if somebody knocks on a door between 5 and 6:30, I better have something.
Yeah.
Not one person knocked on the door, but I ended up getting Kit Kats, and I think they were already marked down, and it was Halloween evening.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what they
got to get
been.
That product move before the Christmas stuff.
Oh, yeah. And of course, they're smart. They package it, you know, with all the Halloween stuff on it, you know, so they can't resell it and say, oh, now it's Christmas candy.
See, that's what they ought to do. Get it a packaging a little different where it would just change automatically.
Well, they do. Yeah. Oh, I see. On the packages, I see.
I mean, artificial intelligence should be able to help them do that.
Well, yeah, where you just pass it under a light of some sort and it changes. All of a sudden it's Easter candy after Christmas.
After that, it's Easter. Yeah.
That's a great idea, Steve. Oh, if you can figure out a way to get it done, you'll be a billionaire.
Save a ton of money there. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Candy day. I didn't have any kids or grandkids that run trick-or-treating, so I can't raid them. So.
Did many come to your house?
No. None. We were locked up.
My assistant has some kids of age, you know, their Halloween age, or, you know, trick-or-treating age, and she said that it was like one out of five houses even had a porch light on.
Yeah.
And there was nobody out. And she says normally her neighborhood is just buzzing with activity. Mm. I don't know. It's weird.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Halloween is gone.
Halloween going into a shift in our culture?
I wonder if it is.
The old-time quaint neighborhood door-to-door.
So I don't know. It may be. I mean, you know, this is a terrible thing to say, but you know, when somebody's knocking on a door and getting shot,
sure.
You know, I can – now, at Halloween, you would think that wouldn't be happening, but
– In my block, I think there are two kids, maybe in the house across the street. Out of all the houses on either side.
Well, and her neighborhood is not, it's not regentrifying. There's still a lot of kids there. Mm. You know, I mean, it's not like aging out or anything. You know how sometimes all the kids are in high school at the same time or something.
Well, I'm in a ghetto, so that, you know. Thank you, guys.
They have candy in a ghetto.
Yeah. It's going to rain today, Don. You better put on your long pants.
The ghetto.
Coming up at 7 o'clock here, top of the hour news this morning. Much needed rain for South Central Kansas. Got the story. Presidential campaigns reaching their final hours. That's on the way with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.